Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Steve Pavlik. How are we doing this week, Steve?
Pretty good, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. We just finished up a great sports week. You know, the Final Four, Masters, you know, I'm a baseball guy. We're into baseball season. So a lot of excitement. All I'm waiting for is this, for this weather to get better. It's driving me crazy, Steve. Absolutely crazy.
Well, the way you 20 and 30 degree fluctuations, you got to stay on top of it.
It just feels like we're not getting that positive 20 or 30 degree pop. So anyway, I will survive it. Someone said to me, Jim, there's a reason for this. It's called living in Pennsylvania. So that's the reality. But anyway, you and I just have two segments together today. After that, we have a special guest on. Not that you're not special, Steve. Okay, but we have the director of external relations for the Penn State Collective, Happy Valley United. That is Wendy Hoover. She'll be with me in quarters 3 and 4. So we'll get to that a little later. Steve, for us, first of all, I wanted to have a little bit of fun. Sometimes it feels like we get off track, off football topics. So let's talk football today. First up, news item that came out, by the way. After Andy and I talked about the offensive line, recorded it, the next day, J.B. Nelson is no longer on the roster. You could take that positive spin, negative spin. What's your take on J.B. Nelson no longer with the Nittany Lions?
If I understand it, Cooper Cousins is the one competing for the position. So the way I'm interpreting it is that Cousins beat him out and that Nelson's transferring out. Assuming I'm right, which is always a big assumption, it hurts from a depth standpoint. You know, it's a long season. The seasons are only getting longer, particularly if we're going to have a good playoff run, which I sort of think is expected, if nothing else. But, you know, I think, you know, if you're not going to start, I sort of understand, you know, the desire to play. And I can't really necessarily fault Nelson for wanting to do that, particularly if I believe he's a senior at this point, right? I don't think he has many years of eligibility left. So,
yeah, my understanding is just 1 year of eligibility left. And I'm with you on this. And I don't know if it's even just beaten out by Cooper Cousins, but I'm wondering also about there's so much depth now on the offensive line, and there's a new generation of offensive linemen coming up. Not just Cooper Cousins, but Javon Williams and a couple more youngsters. That is it possible J.B. Nelson's even losing that first man off the bench kind of role? And to your point, I try never to blame a player for leaving, especially when it's about playing time. And I don't think it's a decision that they can take lightly. I mean, you think about if you were to change jobs, where you have to move cities, that's essentially what's going on. So I'm sure the players take it very seriously, and you can't blame a guy for wanting more playing time.
No, you can't. Like I said, it's unfortunate because if you start thinking about depth moving forward, and you know, Nelson played a lot last year and played well, in my opinion. But again, trying to take the glass half full look here, I think it's probably just a sign that, you know, Cousins is presumably coming on really strong, and we should be very excited about his play. And I think expectations are high for the overall offensive line play in general, which is something we really haven't said many times in recent years. So that's a good thing.
It's kind of pleasant to say that it is. So if you're going to lose a player, that may not be the worst place to do it. Let's get to a couple more topics. Just I want to fire some questions at you. You know, we're right in the middle of spring practice. We're heading towards the spring game. What players are you excited to see play? I mean, every year, you know, there's always a transition in college football. Players move on. Now with the portal, even more players move on. Players come in. Give me a couple players that, you know, you're going to be keeping your eye on.
Well, I guess it's sort of position battles, candidly, that I'm trying to see who's going to emerge. I think linebacker on defense is an area, particularly the middle linebacker. I'm sort of watching Anthony Speca, somebody who sort of followed his recruitment a little bit. I know that Dan Connor was very involved there. I think it's really an important position. You know, at times I thought the linebacker play last year left a little bit to be desired. So I'm curious to see, does he emerge as that solid guy there in the middle? And then on the offensive side, the receiver room sort of an issue in and of itself. But I'm looking at tight end. You know, my guess is we're probably going to likely take some step back from Tyler Warren's production. The guy's going to be a top 10 pick, so I don't fault that. But there's so much in talent there on the bench that's going to be stepping into that place. And what does that, you know, who emerges from that? Are we going to sort of split reps? Perhaps see more two tight end sets. I think that's sort of what I'm very excited to watch. Obviously, we have a lot of players that we know coming back. And, you know, you talk about, is Drew Aller going to take a step forward in terms of particularly his performance in these big games? That's what I'm excited to see. Kiddley's still a little nervous. I guess I'm hoping, you know, we see Aller make a lot of improvements there. I don't know that I'm putting my money where my mouth is in terms of betting on that right now. But again, maybe we see some positive development these first few games. And then, you know, Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, they're sort of the reliable 1-2 punch back there in the backfield. And, you know, there's just a lot of excitement.
There are a lot of good things going on. And well, a couple of guys I'm looking at, you mentioned, you know, the tight end room. And yeah, you're not going to have another tight end with 100 catches this year, okay? Not going to happen.
And that's not a bad thing, as you always point out, that maybe Aller was relying too much. I think there may be something to that.
Yeah, you know, you hope for the distribution is just different, but, you know, the number of catches, it just is distributed differently. But it doesn't mean we can't be excited about the position. And the guys, I think, you know, we all saw enough of Luke Reynolds last year to say, is he the next guy? You know, I'm still the guy who also I'm covering my bets here. Okay, I'll still also say I think Khalil Dinkins is underrated and forgotten about a lot.
Well, it wasn't Andrew Rappaport was hurt last year too, so that's why I sort of didn't mention the name. Is I think you identified three very talented tight ends. You don't necessarily have to keep them all off the field and only go with one guy. Maybe it's just also a distribution of reps, but there's a lot of talent there in that position. They all sort of bring some different skills to that position, and I think it's something to be excited about. And we're sort of been spoiled here recently. We've had a lot of good tight end play, particularly under Franklin here. That's something I'll give him credit for.
And yes, there's such a history now. I assume the tight ends are going to come through and play well. Now, some people they still want to see Tyler Warren type, you know, numbers. Well, you're not going to get that, okay? But it doesn't mean the play will be poor at tight end. The other positions, a couple things. You mentioned, you know, at wide receiver. The hope is someone's going to step up. I've been hearing good things about Devontae Ross, the transfer from Troy. And, you know, not I've heard some of it from inside the football building. I've heard some of it from outside. You know, some national publications are pointing at him. I'm curious to see what he has to offer, Steve.
I think we all are. I mean, it's sort of when I think about, you know, just the enduring being a fan and how you sort of suffer through the process. For a lot of years, we had, in my opinion, some talent at wide receiver. I don't know that we always had people that were maybe in the best position to get them the ball. And you can look at that. And now we have a quarterback and Aller with a big time arm. Somebody can is equipped to get the ball out. Now it's a question, do we have anybody for him to get the ball to? And, you know, that's again just part of the frustration of being a fan.
It is. I'll throw in one more name just because his story is fascinating. We were so anxious to see King Mack last year, and he left for Alabama. That was the one transfer that I think most of us really didn't want to see happen. Prodigal son is back. I'm curious to see what he's – I also want to hear what he has to say, you know, what brought him back to Penn State.
Well, I mean, look, he chose Penn State initially, so clearly something attracted him there. And coming back – And look, he's going to have an opportunity to work for a great defensive coordinator in Jim Knowles. I don't know if he knew that necessarily before he made the decision to return. I sort of don't recall the timeline exactly. But look, he has a chance to play for a national championship. Not that you don't necessarily at Alabama, but given all the talent here at Penn State, the expectations, the NIL commitment, I don't fault him for coming back.
I don't either, and I'm happy to see him. It's at a position, not only is it Jim Knowles, but it's also the position coach, Anthony Poindexter. It seems like safety is one. They just crank out quality NFL-type safeties year after year. So, yes, there was a reason why he came here initially. So let's move on. Here's one for you. You mentioned curious about position battles. Is there a specific position battle that intrigues you?
I guess I'd go back to the ones I just mentioned, linebacker and tight end. I think there's a lot of talent at tight end. So again, you know, do we see one person sort of step above the rest, take a majority of the reps? Is it more of a distribution? Same thing with linebacker. You know, I think the middle linebacker in particular, and I'm sort of showing my bias here. I did play tight end on offense and linebacker, full disclosure. But, you know, linebacker, typically middle linebackers, usually the quarterback of the defense, a lot of the calling, you know. So if you have to rotate somebody through, to me, that's not necessarily a good thing. It's sort of like that Bill Parcells quote, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback. So, you know, I'd like to see somebody step up and emerge there in a more productive role. Because, again, I think it was a pretty strong defense that was talented last year. However, at times I thought the linebacker play left a little bit of a desired, and that was, I think, pretty evident in Notre Dame with some of their run success the latter part of that game.
And the thing is, that linebacker, there's a couple other names to look at. I think just last week, James Franklin talked about Tamir Robinson, who sometimes I think these guys who may have been injured their senior year in high school, a little bit slow to get going in their collegiate career because it's physical rehab is more important than getting them physically ready to play. You know, one of the things is if you are healthy and you come into a collegiate system, I'm sure it's similar in other places, but we know that Penn State does it really well. We've seen the stories of these high school players. Their body gets transformed that first year in the system, but you've got to be healthy before you could go through that transformation. Well, now Tamir Robinson, a couple of years under his belt. I think that's another name to look at, Steve. All right, that's going to be it for quarter number one. We are not done with our questions looking at the 2025 season. We'll pick up this conversation right after this break. Stay tuned. Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. He's Steve Pavlik. I'm Jim Galante. We're going through some questions I have for Steve for the upcoming season. So far, he's done okay with his answers. So far, we got another segment with him. We'll see how he keeps up. Now, here's one of the things that I think is an interesting topic to look at. New defensive coordinator, Steve. And also on the offensive side, it's a second year for Andy Kotelnicki. Okay. So I think year one, obviously, potential for changes. Year two, I think also after a year under the belt. So here's my question. Let's start with Jim Knowles. Let's start with that side. New guy coming in, national championship under his belt. You get a chance. You get some time with Jim Knowles. Just you and him. Okay? One-on-one, Steve Pavlik has a chance to give Jim Knowles some advice. What advice are you giving him?
My advice would be very big picture, because at this point, I know that he knows a lot more about this than I do, but it would be dictate to the other team what they can do. I guess one of my criticisms of Tom Allen at the defensive coordinator is he spent too much time, in my opinion, reacting to what the offense was doing. He was very slow to make in-game adjustments, and I think that put the team at a disadvantage. I think he really saw that. And where the defense struggled, you know, it was in the game against Oregon and sort of the second half against Notre Dame. And you can't afford to do that. I know you are the president of the Manny Diaz fanboy club, but one of the things I will give Diaz credit for is I thought he did a more impressive job, candidly, with, I think, a lesser talented roster than Allen had to work with. And that was, hey, let's not let the offense dictate what's going to happen. Let's let us, the defense, determine what they can and can't do. And, you know, my hope is that Knowles will be able to do that. And he has a lot of talent to work with in terms of some areas, I think, from last year that could be improved on. We touched on the linebacker play, particularly in the run game and the passing game. You know, I think that is something where, you know, Knowles should have a lot of experience there, not only at Ohio State, but coming from the Big 12, when that was obviously a very pass heavy offense. The other thing I think he might be able to do is, you know, he had a lot of success against Andy Kotelnicki, both at Ohio State, again, going back to their times when they met in the Big 12. So I think that, you know, Knowles might be able to sort of point out some things to Kotelnicki as to, here's why I was able to have some success against you, and sort of that reverse scouting. So that might be maybe a segue to Kotelnicki, but that's sort of what I'm thinking about.
That's a great point, and one I always forget about is, you know, who better for an offensive coordinator to talk to than a successful defensive coordinator? You know, hey, you see my offense every day in practice. How would you beat it? You know, what do you see? What are the weaknesses of it? So that's a very good point. And, you know, Steve, you pointed out my presidency of the Manny Diaz fan club, and I wasn't going to bring him up, okay? And our listeners, they point this out, you know, that I always bring up Manny Diaz. So just a point of clarification, Steve brought it up. I'm just following up. And I think what Manny Diaz did a good job on was saying, look, I have these phenomenal athletes all over the field. I'm going to take advantage of that. And I think that ties into exactly what you're saying, which is, let me force the issue on defense. I'm not going to wait to see what you do. I'm going to force you into poor decisions. I'm going to force you into making mistakes. It's aggressive. And, you know, I once said to somebody, oh, I'd like to see more blitzing, more attacking, more forcing the issue. And this experienced football person said back to me, ah, Jim, you're a typical fan. They all say that until you get burned. Yeah, but you know what? I'll take that chance that every once in a while that will happen. But I'm very trusting in my defensive backs. I feel like I can throw the kitchen sink at the quarterback. I want the quarterback to crumble, okay? I want to see fear in his eyes, Steve. So I'm with you with all your advice for Jim Knowles. All right, let's go to the other side. Like you said, you're ready to segue. You're Andy Kotelnicki. You did a lot of intriguing things last year. What's Steve Pavlik telling Andy Kotelnicki?
I would say stop doing all the intriguing things. Sometimes he got too cute. Just stick with what works. Win the game, okay? I mean, that's what you've been hired to do. I guess the other thing that I was sort of candidly a little more disappointed as the season progressed is, you know, we were sort of sold this idea that, you know, Kotelnicki would sort of be able to scheme open these receivers in these big plays. I just didn't really see that much as the season progressed. So you mentioned it's his second season with the offense. It's also the offense's second season with him, and particularly with Aller. You know, not everybody gets the starting quarterback, particularly one of the caliber that Aller is. You know, can we see some progression in the passing game, throwing the ball down the field to receivers? You know, he dialed up a lot of plays for Tyler Warren. I understand that because he was a talent, but, you know, let's see some progress beyond that. And I'd like to see more play action. You have two great running backs. I don't fault you for leaning on them. Stick with what works, win the game. But, you know, maybe just more traditional play action pass where at this point, if receivers aren't your strong suit, that should open them up. And I guess that would be my advice for Kotelniki.
I love that, Steve. Absolutely love it, because if I'm a defense playing against this Penn State offense, I start by saying to myself, if I'm going to have a prayer here, if I'm going to have a chance, I got to try to control. And I didn't even say stop. I said control Katron Allen and Nick Singleton and the running game. Got to as the starting point, which absolutely opens up play action pass. Now, this is another thing that I harp on. Play action works best, I think, on first down, you know, when the defense is saying we got to stop your run first. When it's third and 10, no, play action pass isn't the same, okay? Do it on first down. That's what I want to see. All right, my next question for you, Steve, and I'm just a little fearful of asking this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. We got your advice to Jim Knowles. We got your advice to Andy Kotelniki. Now I'm giving you a sit-down with James Franklin. What are you whispering in James Franklin's ear as your advice for the coming season?
Get out of the way. I'm serious. Like, you spent money on these coordinators, let them coach. You know, I've struggled to see when Franklin, in my thought, has intervened where it's been helpful. So get out of the way. I think he tends to do that more on the defensive side, so I'm less worried there. Offensively, I think that would be the thing to watch, you know, moving forward. You know, we had these odd moments in time where they were too tentative. We were talking about Ohio State and, you know, running the ball basically three times and not getting anywhere. Then there were times, you know, I have to get back with SMU and the like, where, you know, and sometimes the Boise State game sort of let them hang around a little bit longer, where, you know, you're running the ball easily. Like, why are you getting away from this? Like, stop trying to throw the ball downfield for no reason. Just take it. If the defense is giving it to you, take it.
I think you make a good point. There are some of the things that I think sometimes James Franklin is too smart for his own good. I think all of his decisions, I think, are thought out. But the thinking goes awry a bit with not understanding the feel or the circumstances of the game. And you were bringing up SMU. It was a really cold day. SMU's offense could do nothing. I felt like, you know, the way that game was going, that game could still be being played today and SMU still wouldn't score, okay? The only way SMU was going to score is if you gave the ball to them on a turnover, something like that. And when he went for it on fourth down from, what, his own 20, 25, wherever it was, and it may have been technically, analytically correct. And by the way, I'm a guy who pushes to go for it more often than not. But I think you also have to understand the feel of the game. The only way SMU gets back in this game is if you give them a chance to get back in the game. Just play it straight, conservative, and that's not my typical reaction. But at that point, and yeah, it's easy to say it in hindsight, but I said it when I saw them lining up. It's like, oh my goodness, why are you doing this, Steve?
But I mean, again, to me, this is just common sense. Against SMU, Boise State, you are the superior athletic team. Therefore, you should probably err on the side of playing conservative and let your talent win out in the end. And it should be the exact opposite with Ohio State, okay? They're the team with more talent. So you need to take chances here to play to win. And running the ball three times in a row on the goal line is not playing to win.
That's an excellent point. And again, that to me is like having a feel for what's going on, who your opponent is. That's not a generic just statistic that, hey, it's, you know, fourth and one from my own 25. It's who's on the other side of the ball. That's part of the conversation needs to be. And you put it well. Hey, if you're playing Ohio State, you're not necessarily the easily the better team. So you maybe have to take some chances. I do think there were some games, though. You know, I'm thinking like the USC game, the Minnesota game, where he did some really good things late in the game, had to take some, well, didn't have to take the chances, but chose to do it at opportune times.
I will cede you that point. I guess where I would counter is, should you have been in a position to be as close as you were in both those games? Maybe not.
Maybe not, but I think there was also, you know, I'll use USC as an example, because I thought it was also, Drew Aller doesn't get enough credit for what he did in that second half of that game. But that's also, remember, you know, the West Coast trip, multiple time zones, on the road. We saw that in the Big Ten, you know, a lot of teams struggled having to go cross country. It's why I think Ohio State lost to Oregon on the road. You know, if they had played in Columbus, I think that game would have been very different.
Sure looked different when they played in the Rose Bowl.
Well, that, yes. You know, even a neutral field, we saw the difference between Ohio State and Oregon. All right, Steve, that's going to have to be it for our time together. Remember, coming up from Happy Valley United, which is the Penn State Collective, we're going to have a Director of External Relations, Wendy Hoover, on as our special guest coming up next segment. She's going to talk, Steve, excuse me, about a lot of the things going on with the collective that I think our listeners are going to be very interested in. But for Steve, your time is up. Thanks for being on, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Stick with us for lots more.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? GoPSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out GoPSURV.com or call 800-519-8467.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante with our very special guest, the Director of External Relations for Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective, Wendy Hoover. Wendy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jim. Thank you. Thanks for having me on today.
It's absolutely great to have you on. First question's got to be this. Director of External Relations. What does that mean? What do you do?
I'm not sure where that came from, but I do. So I work for Happy Valley United, which is the collective for Penn State sports. And my basic role with the collective is raising money through memberships and also through events. So I coordinate and plan events for Penn State athletics.
Bringing the money in, that's the most important job. First of all, you've been with Happy Valley United now for a few years, which in the collective, it seems like it's been around a long time, NIL, but a few years makes you a veteran. How'd you get involved with Happy Valley United?
So I was a part of a small group here in Central PA that started the early discussions about NIL, and we would get together and have monthly meetings, and we would meet with some of the coaching staff with football, just trying to get a core and a group together to understand what it was, what we could do, just understanding the rules, the regulations, just because we are all new to it. And with the changing landscape of college football, just trying to get a group together to support and be supportive of Penn State sports. And out of that, I just, you know, we grew and we started to do some events. My husband and I started an event in Avalon, New Jersey, 3 years ago. And it started as a small group of people of about 50. And last year we had it, and it was 250 people.
Wow.
So we can we continue to grow. We continue to educate our group that started small. You know, we've now, our tentacles are all over Pennsylvania, building relationships in Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and just trying to educate people and make them understand that, you know, NIL is here today. It's not going anywhere. And we need to remain competitive in college sports. Our football program needs to stay competitive. We need to retain our current roster. We need to get new players. And it's just, it's the reality of college sports today.
Now, from the outside looking in, Wendy, I had the sense early on Penn State fans were a bit reluctant, candidly, with anything involving NIL, name, image, and likeness, that it took a while for Penn State fans to understand what it was about. Perhaps most importantly, like you said, it's here to stay. It's a reality. It's the way of the world. Are you getting the sense that that kind of thinking, though, has changed? It's becoming more accepting, the Penn State fan base, to the NIL world, to what the collective does?
Yeah, I think so. It has definitely been a slow process, just educating and making people understand, you know, what we need to do for the program to remain at the top. We had a great year this past season with football, and you definitely see an increase of people wanting to be involved as the years have slowly gone by. Winning has obviously helped pique people's interest in how we're maintaining a roster, what needs to happen for us to remain successful as a program. So I think that, it was a tough transition. It has been a tough road for us. And I think we've made some really great positive steps forward. And I can see the momentum. We had a lot of momentum going into the end of this past football season. And we just, you know, continuing to grow, continuing to educate our fan base, our alumni, and just keep on doing the things that we're doing. We're making a great impact on our players in our program, teaching them financial literacy and educating them for life after football. So there's a lot of positives that people, I don't think, look at NIL as something. I know there's like this negative connotation, and teams, you know, in the South were giving money that people, I think, just frowned upon, or, you know, way back in the day where money was kind of passed under the table, and now it's over the table. And it's hard for our fan base, and I think just understanding that it's, you know, acceptable now, and just trying, you know, change is not easy in anything, but I do see that our fan base and our alumni are slowly understanding, and it's about education and what we do and how we do it. And I think we do it in a really good, positive way. So
I think, Wendy, in a few years from now, when Penn Staters look back, I think they might look at this coming season and the retention, the fact that Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, Katron Allen, Denai Dennis Sutton, so many of the players made the decision to come back to Penn State. I think they'll look at that as the tipping point to say, hey, wait a minute, this is what we need to do to compete.
Yes.
And it worked.
And I think it's a mix both, Jim, like a mix of obviously the financial contributions have to be there. But I think our program, just the amount of people that surround these players and their families and what we can do, like just making an impact on, you know, their daily life, as, you know, if they need anything, whether it's advice or, you know, help with their taxes, financial literacy, all of those things, just being able to offer and feeling like they have a sense of family within our program. I think we do it really, really well.
And I think that's reflected in the guys coming back and the retention. Anyway, in the time we have left here, Wendy, let's talk about some of the things that are coming up. Now, I know last year you did the whiteout event at the Nittany Lion Inn, which I attended. Fantastic event, but just great. So that's from my personal experience. Now going forward, the schedule, I looked in the calendar. There's event after event. How about telling our listeners about a few of those things that they could join in?
I will. So obviously you can log on to happyvalleyunited.com under events. We have all of our events listed. And we've grown, you know, 3 years ago, we have held a couple of events, and it's just a good way for our fans and alumni to come together to learn not only about NIL, but also to have a really good time and to be with our past lettermen. Sometimes some of the events you get to be with current players, you get to be with coaching staff, and it's just it's a really good time to participate. And a way to give to NIL, but also a way to be entertained through like a Penn State experience. And over the times, you just like knowing your audience, setting fundraiser goals, and then we just plan and market our events to our base, our fan base, and then just finding some corporate sponsors to provide, and also just providing the overall experience to our fans. So some of the upcoming events, we have a huge weekend for Blue White Weekend. I feel like we have an event every day. So something to offer everyone. Thursday night, we're going to be at the Tavern, downtown State College, and we'll be in the speakeasy. And it'll be an evening with some of our Penn State greats, our legends, Allen Robinson, LeVar Arrington, Brandon Short, Blair Thomas, to name a few. But tickets are, as I said, available at happyvalleyunited.com. Friday night, we're doing a happy hour at Toff Trees. So that's April 25th. And it will be, there's music, appetizers, dancing, and another time for you to mingle and meet our past lettermen. And then on Sunday, April 24th, we're doing a breakfast with our football coordinators in the Lash building from 9 a.m. to 11. Just a really great opportunity. It's, you know, not only just a cool experience to be in the football building and get to see all of our past trophies, but getting to have breakfast in an intimate setting with all of our coordinators for football. So it should be a really great time. And we've done it a number of years, and this is the first year that we'll be in the football building. And then we move Monday to our second annual golf outing in Camp Pill, Pennsylvania, the West Shore Country Club. We're doing a 11 a.m. registration, noontime shotgun kickoff, and then we'll have a reception for the non-golfers and also included are the golfers after that. But it is a great day. We have current players. The entire coaching staff came last year. I know we're going to have a lot of coaches there this year, a lot of lettermen. We have merchandise. The day is, it was a great day. I'm hoping that this time will be equally as fun.
Well, those are great events. And I think what I find fascinating in all of these events is when you get either the players, the current players, the former players, the coaching staff, the quality of the people that you're dealing with there, that I find the fans who interact, it's like, wow, wasn't so-and-so great, this player or that player, that they walk away saying, I'm proud to be a Penn Stater if those are the kind of people that are representing us.
Yeah, and you get to have to spend time and have interactions and build a relationship, and you see the guys on the field, then you're like, oh yeah, I talked to him. I got to, you know, spend some time with him at one of these events. So it does bring you closer to the program and all of these experiences at any of these events.
And you know what? It makes you even more of a fan. All of a sudden, I remember I got to meet Riley Thompson at an event, the punter. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
What a great guy. Yeah. Just very charming, great stories, the great Australian accent. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it makes me now, I'm more of a Riley Thompson fan.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for the punter. I'll tell you what, Wendy, we're running out of time for this segment. Could I ask you to stick around for a second segment?
Sure.
Let's do it, because I know there's a lot more events to talk about. We'll do that right after this break.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, continuing with our guest, Wendy Hoover, Director of External Relations for Happy Valley United. That's the Penn State Collective. And you know what, Wendy, when we left, and I'll take the blame for this, okay? We were supposed to have you on for one segment. I can't help it. I start talking, get into other stories, other things. So you were kind enough to stay on for another segment, which I really appreciate. And when we left in the last segment, we were talking about some of the upcoming events with Happy Valley United, places where Penn State fans, our listeners, could get involved in. We're talking about the Blue-White Weekend. You have things going on every day, Thursday through Monday of that weekend, concluding on Monday with the golf outing at West Shore Country Club. Just real quick, everything that people hear about today, they could go to the website and get tickets and more information, happyvalleyunited.com, correct?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Great. So let's hit some of the other events that are going on. I know you have something coming up in Philadelphia.
Yes, we have a very big event coming up in Philadelphia, Thursday, May 8th. And we have a star-studded list of lettermen that are going to be there, Super Bowl champion Saquon Barkley. And that evening is going to be a great evening. It's at the Union League in Philadelphia, and there's going to be some of our coaching staff, players, current players, and lettermen, Grant Haley, one of our Penn State greats, Christian Hackenberg, Adam Taliaferro. It's going to be a really, really special night. So this is our second time doing Philadelphia. And if you want more information, as Jim said, go on to happyvalleyunited.com. There's tickets for everyone at different levels. And we would love to have everybody there.
And you know what? I'll just mention that it's great that in Philadelphia, I told you earlier, we were chatting offline, that I'm a New York Mets fan. But in football, I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I know that's pretty awkward, but it is the case. We've got a lot of fans, Eastern PA, especially Southeast PA, to get Saquon Barkley, an all-time Penn Stater, and now an all-time Eagle. You can't beat that.
It would be a fun night and an opportunity to get to meet him. So hopefully you can join us.
And that's not the only event coming up. You and I, we were talking a little bit again off the air. We both have some significance to Harrisburg for us. And there's mm-hmm. going to be a great baseball event at the minor league park there in Harrisburg, which is one of the coolest ballparks anywhere.
Yeah, we're having a baseball fundraiser at City Island. And that event is Friday, May 16th. And that is at the FNB Field, and we are playing Xavier that day. And there's going to be all kinds of things going on. So pregame batting practice will be out in center field on the concourse, hot dogs, drinks, Penn State memorabilia. We'll have some signed merchandise to give away. Chances for some of our little league teams to come to this game for free if they wear their jersey. And it'll just be a night for family. And Penn State has never played at the park there, so this will be the first time. So we're very excited and hopefully have a great turnout and maybe sell out the park that night.
And if you've never been to that park, it's literally on an island in the river.
It is.
Which is just phenomenal. Just a great place to watch a ball game. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And again, this is just the beginning of the events. There's the big event, that annual event in Avalon again this year, correct?
There is. We actually have right before Avalon, after Philly, we have an event, our first time doing something in Pittsburgh. So we are in Pittsburgh. It's around the U.S. Open. It's going to be a great event. It's at Fox Chapel Golf Club in Pittsburgh. It's the Wednesday, so it's the first day of the U.S. Open, their practice round. We're giving away tickets there. We're going to have a raffle for tickets to go to the U.S. Open. So we'll have an online auction for that. We'll have some coaches, Letterman, there too. So that is Wednesday, June 11th, right around the U.S. Open. And then we will move into July 24th at our Shore event. And that is, we are at the Shore in Avalon, New Jersey. That's at Union League National Golf Course. This is something that my husband and I started 3 years ago with about 50 people. And again, it was just about educating people on NIL. It was a free event just to get a group of people together, to talk with them, to educate, to learn about NIL and to get them interested in supporting. And again, we went from 50 people to last year to 250 people and raised some money for the program, which was, you know, our goal and something that we try to give back to the program as much as we can. So that that event is something that we do, my husband and I personally, through the each year. And it's something that, you know, we care about Penn State football. And now I'm on board running the events at Happy Valley United. So it's been a great transition.
Well, that's the interesting thing, how that transpired. Just being a Penn State supporter, someone who's, you know, from the outside got involved. Next thing you know, you're in the middle of it. You're running things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been great. It just, the passion and my heart that I have for the program, it was a natural fit. I was a lobbyist in Harrisburg for about 23 years. I started in state government. I worked in the House and the Senate. I was a chief of staff to a state senator out of Pittsburgh. And I've always had the love for Penn State sports and Penn State football. And when I was approached after, you know, holding some events to try to grow interest in NIL and try to also bring some people together to support our program, it was a natural fit. I loved what I was doing, and it was very important to me to help our student athletes. So here I am.
That's a fantastic transition, you know, to go from a fan, a tremendous advocate, to participating, to contributing, and then being part of the story. But I got to mention, first of all our listeners, they know, Wendy, that I'm a huge baseball fan, okay? I sneak in baseball references into every football story anywhere that I can. Now, you're also, I just found out, you're also a big baseball fan.
I am.
But you were also part of, you said you worked in Harrisburg state government. You were part of the process that got us here in Pennsylvania several of these stadiums that we see across the state. Like we talked about, like the stadium, the Penn State baseball stadium, which is a fantastic stadium. Yes. What we have in Altoona. You were part of that.
Yes, I was. Yeah. So that was many, many years ago. I worked for State Senator Bob Jubilier, who was the president pro tem of the Senate at the time. And we were involved in negotiating the state budget to get funding for those stadiums, PNC Park, our stadium in Philadelphia, and some of our minor league stadiums across the state.
Well, it's great having you as part of this, also a big baseball fan, because we see now, you know, the events with the baseball team in Harrisburg.
Yeah, but I'm very excited about our upcoming baseball events, and it's great to work with Coach Gambino and his staff. I'm excited that we're doing some things for baseball.
Well, that's it, because we all love football, and let's face it, college football, that is the, as they say, the front porch to the whole university. Everybody, you know, loves football. You get 100,000 people in to the stadium for home games. Yeah. But Penn State, and especially this year, it's also support is needed for those other sports that are doing so well. You know, hockey team in the Frozen Four, the women's volleyball team, just an incredible story. Their national championship, the baseball team doing well. Wrestling, yes, I forgot. probably the best dynasty in collegiate sports history. Yes. So there's a lot more for Penn Staters to be proud of, Penn State sports fans, than just the football team.
Yeah, and Happy Valley United is involved. We do events and fundraisers for basketball, for wrestling, for women's basketball, and now baseball. We're doing a few things. We have just coming up Easter weekend, April 19th at the park. We're doing an ice cream day at the park. Again, you can find out all of the details at happyvalleyunited.com. We're doing an event for some lettermen and fans May 2nd. We're doing a cocktail reception at the tavern. And then we're doing a big event on May 13th at PNC Park. Our team, Penn State Baseball, will be at PNC Park for a game. And that's the same week as the game in City Island. So we have a lot of fun things happening with baseball, and it's so exciting. The program is doing so well. Coach Gambino is such a great coach and very proud of the direction of our program and the success that our team is having right now.
All right, Wendy, in the last minute or so that we have, could you just give our listeners a little more background on some of the things that are being done with Happy Valley United as far as creating content? And I bring that up also selfishly, because Keystone Sports, we're part of it. We get the advantage. Yes, we're now teammates. So I get to have you on. I've had Mike on. We're going to have a lot of other people in the athletic department from the football team. And how do people become part of this, be able to get all the content, become a member?
Yeah, so it is an exciting time. We are building content, and I think what will help with the content is people become, you know, more educated about what we're doing and what we actually do with the athletes and what they do. So if you want to be a part of it and see this exclusive content that Jim is helping to produce, you will get on our, you can go to our website, but we are rolling out an app that you can sign up for, download on your phone.
That's fantastic. And Wendy, I'm just thrilled to be part of it. It's a great team that you have at Happy Valley United. Great for us at Keystone Sports. I know state media is also part of it. It's all very exciting.
Yeah, I just one more thing. I just want to encourage people, if they haven't been to our website, please go check it out. Check out the events. If you aren't a member of Happy Valley United, please consider. It will mean a lot to our student athletes.
Fantastic. That's the final word. Thank you, Wendy. Hope to have you on again sometime. That's it for our show.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.